Thank you for your presence, which is by grace and your mercy extended toward us. We do appreciate that, Father. We know that as children we don't have any particular rights that are ours as by application or by intrinsic values, but are ours only by virtue if you as Father would give them to us and extend them to us, and especially all this in the light of Creator as well as being our own begetter. So, but we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you have led us in on into, Lord, to be standing here as redeemed sons and daughters of God. And we just pray, Lord, that your word be fulfilled in us and especially to us at this time. As your own prophet said, all your children shall be taught of God. We ask for your teaching this morning, Lord, that we've already received from a vindicated prophet, but may we discuss it together and enjoy it together in a fellowship and communion of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into Satan's Eden here. Of course, you understand that Brother Branham used the term Satan's Eden on the ground that God's Eden was God's headquarters upon earth, where he established his own children with himself as the head or the father. And this kingdom which he started, of course, was disrupted, will be restored in the millennium. And in the meantime, Satan has been building up to receiving a headquarters himself upon earth, wherein he shall have a government of which he is the head, and he will have all these children under his jurisdiction or his sovereignty. Now, of course, what happened there was that Adam and Eve sold out the human race into bondage unto Satan, and the last 6,000 years has been one of Satan's dominion, coming to the place where he'll have absolute headship. But God has always taken out his own children through redemption, taken them out by the channel of death, and then bringing them back in a resurrection. Of course, at the end time, there will be a people who will not die, but will be changed to immortality, immortal beings, going into the millennium, which, of course, Adam forfeited through his wife. And when he would have wanted to become immortal, it wasn't to his own good. So therefore, God cut it off until the time it will be to his good and to our good, when we come forth in bodies which are commensurate to the creation that is around about us and of which our bodies are a part. Now, since Brother Branham took his reading for this message, Satan's Eden, from the passage of Eve's temptation in Eden, which you read in chapter 3, wherein the serpent challenged her that a quest for knowledge was a superior way of life. Now, that's exactly what happened. From this portion of Scripture, it is evident that the serpent, who was the mouthpiece and the tool of Satan, challenged her that a quest for knowledge was a superior way of life. So it is not strange that Brother Branham makes the comment that Eve lusted for knowledge. Now, that's a statement that you're going to find in no other textbook in theology. You won't find it anywhere, because the theologians simply would not accept that, because most theologians have read the old true servants of God, who also in measure were theologians, and they could understand the prime principles of God and of Satan, and they would know where Satan was moving in history. And the moving in history is that Satan is going to take over. And the point is, what did Satan do to start the takeover? And if you have any conception of language, you know that Brother Branham's statement is correct. that she was sold a bill of goods concerning knowledge, the lust for knowledge. That was the superior way of life. And you know, there's no two ways about it, but ever since that time, mankind has lusted and sought and left no stone unturned to receive a knowledge which would benefit him in his hour of limitations, believing that he would be at one time unlimited. So you see what Satan presented to her and how Brother Branham phrased it. Now, in the light of the church's present requirement for an in-depth, prescribed, basic education in religion and humanism as a basis or an adjunct to spirituality, it is easy to see how right he was in his statement. Now, you can't go to any organization, any group of people that really wish to be complimented upon their ability to serve God and to measure in the kingdom of God, or to do something which is spiritual and philosophically spiritual, you will find that everyone demands intensive training. There's no one that doesn't want it. So, it's easy to see, then, since the church demands this adjunct to spirituality, philosophy has taken over from scriptural truth, and tradition reigns supreme. And the reason I say that is because the churches, though some claim to believe the Bible word for word, when it comes down to those things that are sticky, they simply substitute their own word, the same as Israel did, such as when they came to Jesus and said, listen, there was a woman who married this certain young man and he died leaving no issue. And so as is necessary according to the Hebrew law, the brother of the dead husband took her and he died leaving no issue. And so on unto all seven, whose wife then shall she be in the resurrection? And he said, you do err, neither knowing the truth of the Scripture nor the power of God. Now that's a pretty flat statement. And of course, Israel had 4,000 years of constant study and application of the Torah through the Talmud. Until if you study and pick up even the Jerusalem Post, as I like to get, in any books of Israel, you will find the constant going back to their fathers, Rabbi so-and-so and so-and-so, and especially like to go back to Hillel and Maimonides and some of these more conservative ones as well as the liberal. And they're always quoting, to the extent, as I showed you, I think last Sunday, they didn't give two bits for the Word of God. For the Word of God had told them, if you leave the Word, you leave me, the land will force you out. And they turn it right around and make the land everything. The land isn't everything, it's the Word that is everything. So you can see that the Christian churches have done no different from the Jewish churches, which also are Christian churches, because Mashiach, or Messiah, is the same word in the Hebrew that we use in the Greek, which is Christos, or Christ. They're Messiahites, and we're Messiahites. They're Christians, and we're Christians. I may gall you, but it's the truth. And you can see the mess they're in, and our churches today are in a mess. So, all right, let me read it again. Since Brother Branham took his reading for this message from the passage of Eve's temptation in Eden, wherein the serpent challenged her that a quest for knowledge was a superior way of life, it is not strange that Brother Branham makes the comment that Eve lusted for knowledge. He got her all roused up for it. And Eve types the church. She's gung-ho for knowledge. She's gung-ho to know. She's going to stretch beyond herself. She's going to find out things. Is it really right? Ain't it really right? See? In the light of the church's present requirement for an in-depth, prescribed basic education, religion, and humanism as a basis for or an adjunct to spirituality. It is easy to see how right he was in his statement, for philosophy has taken over scriptural truth, has taken over from it, supplanted it, and tradition reigns supreme. Now you tell me how education makes a person spiritual. Now I'd like some answers, because you see the world is full of it. You go to the Roman Catholic colleges and they turn up brilliant philosophers. You go to the Protestant colleges, they turn up brilliant philosophers. And you have the priest ending up with AIDS and a Presbyterian minister having got seven women pregnant out of one congregation. You say, well, that's just an odd example of a bad egg in the bunch. Come on, trace the whole thing through. And you'll find they all disagree with God and his word. And they do not believe the Bible to be inerrant. They believe, well, there could be mistakes in it, and we got to try to study and figure the thing out. It's like the man told Brother Branham, when we finally get all the Greek analyzed and know all the words, we'll know exactly what God said, like fun you will. It doesn't work that way. Paul the Apostle tells you that. Now, this is what's happened. And at the same time, we acknowledge this truth. We must be sure to understand. He is showing that this is not God's way. For God's way is by revelation, and revelation can come only by the Holy Spirit alone, not even Holy Spirit plus. Man says, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to get it. No, no. There's a certain way that God lays down revelation, and there's only one way he lays it down. And this is where we get our great criticism, because somebody's always going to say, well, don't tell me, bless God, I don't have the Holy Ghost and I can't understand. It's always the same old junk. That's the same thing the Catholic Church pulled off in reverse. They say, bless God, none of you got the Holy Ghost, but us priests do, so therefore you can't understand. And I just say to one pope and one priest, have you got any vindication? And I would say to one Protestant, have you got any vindication? Now, you talk about a book, you talk about religion. Get to where the Bible tells the source of a true revelation. And you think they're going to take it? No more than nothing, because they haven't got one amongst them that's got it. So that leaves all your philosophies vain. Now where is this chicken you've been plucking gone to? It's nothing but a money racket. Come on, let's face it. The church is a money racket. When it left Egypt, it made the golden calf. It's always been a golden calf scheme. Pretty buildings, big wages, this, that. Then you get a few people that can pass their hearts. They try to do a few good things, like Mother Teresa. I wouldn't be surprised she'll come up in the second resurrection and come in. But where does she stand? You don't stand on your good works. Because your good works could be an abomination to Almighty God. Otherwise, God should have accepted Cain. Cain came with his pretty flowers, his first fruit offering. Why did God bounce him out the door? Shame on God. You missing? You see what I'm talking about? Why talk about the Bible? Why talk about the Word of God? Unless there's some way to get into it and receive the validity of it. And by that I mean a true revelation, because the Word of God of itself is not valid when it's picked in the hands of people and talked about by people. The Word of God is only valid when that Word lives and is manifested to be the truth. You understand what I'm saying? You simply got to know that. Now, what is it? God uses prophets as the only effective way to bring revelation, because prophets alone are vindicated, as in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, basically, the content of the educational processes for 6,000 years deals only with knowledge gained by man dealing with nature and by drawing conclusions. This basically eliminates God and revelation. Now, that's why the church does not go for God and revelation. When you basically deal with knowledge that has been derived through nature. When you draw conclusions, and you find that those conclusions apparently form a paradox with this, or a contradiction, then instantly you must deny this, because there is no vindication. The truth is, there is a vindication. Okay? Now, for a moment, going back to Genesis 2:18 to 24. Genesis 2:18 to 24. And this is where God says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. Then every animal comes before Adam, and he names them all, and everyone's got a mate. So God said, now I'm going to make someone in his image, like him, a helpmeet. Doesn't mean just to help him, but it means one like unto him. One of his own group, his own species, so generically and genetically, is going to be one with him. All right. And so God takes him, takes the rib out, takes the flesh, separates the female part from the male part, puts it in the female body, presents her to Adam. Now, we see here this, what we just read, along with Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and God said, let's make man in our image after our own likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle of the earth, and creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female created them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moves upon the earth. Okay. Back to Genesis 2, 5 to 7. And it says there was nobody there to tend the soil, to till the ground. It was just watered daily by God. So God made man out of dust of the ground and made him a living creature. Then in 15 and 17, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, and the day of the end thereof thou shalt surely die. Now what we're looking at here is, when you put all these scriptures together, beginning with Genesis 2:18 to 24, which shows how Eve came into being with Adam, and along with Genesis 1:26-28, where you saw that Adam and Eve were one spirit member together, and then you saw where it was where he began to form them into human vessels by starting with the two together in one vessel, calling their name Adam, in that particular position, and then mentioning to them that they must leave the tree, in the they can eat of every tree of the garden all they wanted to, that would be all right. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they could not eat of that tree. Now, that original Son of God man, that's what we're talking about, that very original one that God brought forth from himself, because he's a Son of God, and he was placed there and told how he was to have dominion over the earth, what his position actually was, and that person now being formed into a human being, that's a physical creature, stood before all other physical creatures, and he was able to give them names and relate them to himself and to nature, which he was doing, shows us that this Son of God man had within himself and apart from creation. You hear what I'm saying? And apart from all other creation, he had within himself an innate knowledge of creation, which information did not come from creation. That is, Adam was not subjected to an education by his five senses and reasoning power, but by the anointing within him. And thereby that anointing, he evaluated all created life and did not require any input outside of himself. Now you see where we're going? Tell me any scripture you've got that God hustled Adam to go out there and dig for himself. All he did was cut twigs, maybe scratching the ground if he felt like it, have some jurisdiction over nature. But when it came to Adam, there was no input. Now you find it, and I've got a couple $100 bills in my wallet. I'm not boasting, but I have to have them there for business reasons. Anybody quote me one scripture against what I said, and you got $200 just like that, being the smartest boy or girl in the class. Easiest $200 you ever made. It's going to be the toughest, because you ain't going to find it. It's just a tiny bit of scripture to go to. Can't do it. God prayed all that before Adam, and he named them. Nature had no input. We're talking of knowledge now. Nature had input because it fed him the good oranges, if they had oranges, I don't know, peaches and pears and plums, and he could pick off the honeysuckle and brush the bees aside and nip the end off and suck the honey out. It was good, the nectar. I've done that lots, and so have you. Of course, there's a certain kind of honeysuckle worth a plug nickel because there ain't no honey in it. Got to get the old-fashioned non-hybrid stuff, which unfortunately I don't have any in my yard. There wasn't any input. See, there wasn't an input. It was the anointing within him. He was truly and exactly such as God said in Genesis 1:26-30, when he was in that body of flesh, and naming all the animals and all that sort of things going on. He was specifically the same person when Adam and Eve were one spirit body person. And even also in Genesis 2:7 and 16:17, as it continues and goes on, and as it continues to where Eve comes forth in her own body, there is no reference to any form of education where man must exist through his senses. He had a sixth sense of faith of the Holy Spirit. Now this is very important, and notice it carefully. Each time God dealt with Adam, but not with Eve. Now he dealt with Eve within Adam, calling their name Adam, they're one. But you notice he's dealing with the masculine headship within the personage. Then Adam must deal with Eve. And at no time was there any indication of an innate knowledge by an anointing given to Eve. So where does that leave the church typed by Eve? That she's got one thing of her own. Well, we learned this by experience. I wouldn't give you two bits for experience. Everything I've ever had ended up, I thought it was good, I lost it, or I wouldn't even call it manure. What's it done for you?
Eh?
What have you got your knowledge is really going to give to you? You're going to leave this world and you don't even know where you're going. You haven't got enough strength to bring forth for tomorrow because you don't know if you're going to be living tomorrow. I got a secret silent prayer that I voiced over the pulpit. I wish I was one of those lucky guys who suddenly dropped dead. Right. I got to die anyway. Who likes the thought of vegetation? Vegetating, rather. Who likes the thought of always bullying your way through and fighting your way through? See, now even the smartest guy and the nicest guy and the best man living in the sense he's had a very full life, he's going to die. What lies ahead? This is something you cannot go get by education. See? And there's no scripture, and I took you right to the beginning to show you that God's way of training had nothing to do with man training himself or bucking the elements. It was something that God laid out. And he said, what was God's training? Go out there and take it over. The magnificence of fatherhood and fathers. Goodness bestowed upon father's children. Now, what knowledge that was in Adam, by the Spirit anointing, he passed on to Eve. Okay, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, Paul is talking in verse 4, but in verse 3, he said, we want to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the unity of the Spirit back in the day of Adam and Eve was there. And notice how they blew it. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're calling one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? Now, that wasn't the body. And he that descended is the same also descended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So the one that went down there literally came back. Right. He came back on the day of Pentecost, was at the pillar of fire, and then he began, as it were, inseminating, use that word if you want to, anointing, and tying to himself, binding back to himself by the baptism his own children, anointing them. And then he appeared to Paul, 100%, that pillar of fire, I'm Jesus. He came right back, and he set the church in order through the Apostle Paul, establishing the doctrine to the Gentiles. In other words, the same Jesus that was in the pillar of fire, that was back in the days of Moses, that was the rock that brought forth the water, that was the cloud that covered by day from heat, that was a pillar of fire night that kept them by cold, that kept your clothes clean, their bodies from stinking, their shoes never wore out, the food they had to go to the promised land, that threw the Red Sea back and brought them in to defeat the enemies. That was Jesus. Now listen, they turned Jesus down in flesh. And they're blinded, but they're still the elect of God. They'll come up in the second resurrection. Keep your nose out of God's business. All Israel shall be saved. Not one true child of Abraham is lost. Now the same Jesus that was in the pillar of fire at the time of Moses, that was in Moses, that led Israel, the same one came back to Paul to set the church in order. Now listen what happened when he came down. He gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave a fivefold ministry. The church is Eve. She has the headship. And this is so difficult for people because they still got the pride of Eve and the pride of the devil. They want to be somebody. God took the pressure off of Eve, and the devil came by and he said, "Hey, wouldn't it be fun if you knew what it was to be a pressure cooker?" And she said, "Hey, I like the thought. It sounds exhilarating." Sheesh, I could give up anything, brother, sister. I wouldn't want to go back and open the covers for anything. You say, what would you look at? If you couldn't have that, I'd have annihilation. I'm not interested. You say, well, you're a crazy kind of a guy. Yeah, because I'm a crazy child of God. That's why I'm not stupid anymore. Simplicity. This is simple right here. Who wants to believe it? Eve herself never had an anointing within her to know. She didn't have it. Adam had it. Now there's a way that the anointing comes today to the church. And the church doesn't want it. They don't want what the Holy Ghost will do for them. They're claiming what happened 2,000 years ago. And they're basing upon a God figure. Got to be something out there somewhere. But in Paul's day, they began turning him down because by the time Paul was just with the Gentiles a few years, they had another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And Paul says at the end time, I want you to notice that you be careful about another spirit because the same spirit was supposed to come back at the end time according to the book of Ephesians. But they turned it down. Now, Eve's knowledge was not from a source within her as was Adam's. That's right. It wasn't. She must live by Adam's anointing source. Yep, whatever the anointing source was in Adam, she had to live by it. And Adam was her head. We're talking to the church now and the bride. She must live by Adam's anointing. And remember, Jesus is called the second Adam. But notice in Genesis 3:1-6, that's where Satan talks to her and gets her all moved in her senses to educate her. Eve moves away from her source and gets involved with creation. She gets involved with creation by a created reasoning beast. And immediately steps down from Genesis 1:26-27. She no longer is in position to control and be the head of creation. Romans tells you that. Creation sold in bondage. What did it? She listened to the creature and not the creator. Okay, come on. What's the church is doing today? What are you and I doing? We're all messed up like Hogan's goat. It's always responding to nature, to creation. Let one person truly live above creation. And you could produce men like the Apostle Paul. And maybe even someone like Sadhu Sundar Singh, though I don't know too much about the guy, except it is written under oath and said to be true by people who knew him, that the tiger, instead of attacking him, simply lay down like a kitten and purred at his feet while he tickled his tummy. Like the Apostle Paul, when the viper took a hold of his finger And the strange thing is that type of viper doesn't let go. He hangs on. Paul just shook him off. He fell in the fire. Man was meant to have power over creation and not creation over man. And the more that we listen to creation, the more we put away the Creator, and the less hope we ever have of getting out of here and coming back and running creation. Come on, let's not be stupid, brother, sister. I'm cutting my throat this morning along with yours, but let God get the glory. Remember the time that old fella defiled the whole kingdom of Israel when they're in there trying to take Jericho, and they took and he stole the Babylonian garment and a wedge of silver? Achan. They had to find out who the bird was that did it. So they took by lots and finally said, okay, Achan, give God the glory and confess. Well, he said, I took the Babylonian garment, I took the wedge of silver, I took the gold. He said, thank you. And they took him out and stoned him and his whole family. God got glory. Makes you think, doesn't it? God just loves to be called a liar. In the very Garden of Eden, he is superseded by a created being. Yeah, I don't like the word. It's beast. But it is a being. Eve taken in by that one's beauty. So-called intelligence. Yeah. She steps down from Genesis 1:26, where Eve and Adam were one in spirit form body with co-sovereign power with God on this earth. God said he won't share his power with anybody. Didn't really say that. He said he wouldn't share his glory. God lost his glory the minute that Eve listened to the part of creation. Now it's okay for you to listen to your big toe when you bump it at night against a chair or the bedpost and it hurts and you do something about it. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just a very abstract illustration, just thinking what people can do and you can get away with it, because there are things in nature it's okay to listen to and to watch. But you don't consult your big toe if you want to make a decision that has to do with your life. You just hope your big toe is healthy enough to go along with it so you don't stumble in your decision which you're hastily trying to run and fulfill. True. I get my point? Also note here that in Genesis 1:28, which is separate from Genesis 1:26-27, and I better read it to you so you get what I'm driving at. 1:26. I'll read 1:28 first. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish earth and subdue it, and do on her own it, run everything for me. Now watch. Above that is where he says, have dominion. They're in his image, but they couldn't multiply. In 26 and 27. But in 28, they come to the place where they can multiply. Now, notice, he never took away their position of ruling and reigning with him on his kingdom and earth. He let them continue in it, and they were supposed to continue. So that means something to you and me. Now then, notice the thunderbolt. In Genesis 3, Eve enters into dialogue with creation by her senses and reasoning power that lies in her spirit and decides to enter into a scientific experiment. Oh yeah, a lot of things can be learned apart from spirit anointing, and that's where the trouble comes in. Well, anybody can plainly see, said Satan, the serpent. She said, yes, I can really see. Now, he said, that's right. But he said, I'm going to put you beyond just the seeing faculties. See? In other words, her co-equality with Adam, ruling co-equally with God, wasn't sufficient. Now, who do you think was in that beast coaching her? Do you remember a certain archangel that was fallen, anointed cherub, that led in the worship of God, stood there with Michael, who impersonated Christ at that time, typing Christ, or actually Christ in that form? He said, I'm going to exalt myself above the heavens. So, all right, that's what you're listening to. Okay, again now. Genesis 3, Eve enters into dialogue with creation. Yeah. By her senses and reasoning power that lay within her spirit, decides to enter into a scientific experiment. She's going to really find out. Contrary to the direct word of God, which word of God does not have a dialogue with nature or creation, but power and authority and decision over it by reason of the fact that all creation is merely a product of the Word and owes its existence and maintenance to it. What are you going to do when things begin to dissolve? There's a dissolving now. Where are you going to hide from the poisons that are in this earth? Our facetious government that laughs all the way to the bank, spending our trillions of dollars in taxes, allows each of the about 49 pounds of additives, poisons in our food each year. I didn't bring my Harrowsmith with me to just read you what happened to an Indian lady, where our government dropped off tons of tailings of uranium in. And the poor little girl with one pair of shoes walked in it. And they took off an ankle. And they took off a leg. And they took off an ankle and another leg. And she died. And nobody made anything of it except, you know, of us rich guys. If you die, I'm sorry. But you're eating nothing. I got to have your money. That's America. You haven't got a chance. The old saying of a snowball in hell is an under-exaggerated statement. Because we don't know the first thing about hell and snowballs or anything else when it comes to that time. But we're looking at our time. And radiation breaks down the immune system. AIDS. What have they found out about Kaposi's cancer? It doesn't show up in the people that get AIDS by injection. It only turns up in the homos, the bisexuals, and those that get into illicit sex. Showing now that cancer is derived from sexual intercourse and diseases. Those are the statistics. Where are you going to hide? Eve went to nature. She received her dialogue from nature, her information. Unfortunately, it was all wrong, because nature does have explicit good information. But it doesn't do one thing for you or about you when it comes to God and His revelation and His salvation, His goings, His comings, His doings. Creation is a product only. Why would you go to a product? Thus Eve is deceived by the serpent into denying that she is a part of the living Word. Yep. When you see so much serpent seed, it's very difficult to even believe that there could be a part of the living God in some of us. Eve denies that she's a part of the living Word. Why is she a part of the living Word? Because she's reigning over creation, which created the creation and maintains the creation. So, if the living Word, Jesus, the living Word, the Logos Rhema, God in, created and maintains, and she is maintaining, then she's a part of the original Creator. Right? What else? Well, I believe that God has another source of maintenance outside of Himself. Well, I got news for you. You don't know your Bibles. That's your trouble. You're guessing. You've gone back to nature. You're looking at cycles. You're looking at science books. My Bible tells me all things were made by Him and all things are maintained by Him. That's it. So you just blew your salvation. You say, hey, Lee, you got to be like a horse that's got blinkers and a guy with a tough hand and a tough set of spurs. You hit it right on the head. And you better not squirm and dance up and down when the spurs come and hit you either. You better move. Eve is deceived by the serpent in denying that she is a part of the living Word by which all substance came into existence in order, and places herself as a part of creation that is under dominion rather than dominating. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32, this is just part of this whole thing. What shall I more say then? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and the Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of aliens. Women received their dead raised again to life. That tells you right there that God has chronicled those who dare to stand up and take their place. He blew it. Make no mistake about it. The beast dominates her. Genesis 3:13 said, he seduced me. The word seduction is not simply a mental thing, but it's actually sexual. She is completely seduced sexually, physically, by the animal. He's not a four-footed elephant. He's a big, tall, giant-looking man, far more handsome than Adam ever would be. He was a giant. Now she dominates Adam. She gets him into the mess. Then go back and look at Genesis 3. Beginning at verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now listen, something is happening to her which she does not make happen. Something is controlling her and she is not controlling it. In sorrow, you're going to bring forth children. You're going to desire your husband. He'll rule over you. Not co-rulers now. Unto Adam he said, because you hearken the voice of your wife, and ate of the tree which I command thee, saying, thou shalt eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sore you eat of all the days of your life. It's going to bring forth thistles and weeds. You're going to have to plant and to reap, and you're only going to get bread by the sweat of your face. You're going to go back to the ground. Adam is no longer controlling. He's being controlled. So if you want to know how powerful the Word of God is, you just saw a case where they blew it. It's not, now watch, it is not word plus. It is not word minus. It is word period. Or you're finished. Add or take therefore one word from this end time message. Now I'm hated because of how I preach. Leville doesn't have any love. I've watched their love. It's all around us. I'm not interested. That I preach this way shows my love this morning. Because I show you word by word what the prophet said. And I challenge you, stand before me. Any 6 men in this congregation, stand right here. Take your Bibles. Prove me wrong in one word. Can't do it. Neither was it given to you to lead the people. So watch how you try to put a spur on me. You try to put a negative. Say, I can stop Levite or some other thing at all. I've led you back to the beginning. Right here where you do not take a word or add a word, because the minute you do, you become subject. The only hope we have is getting back to the complete original word. And no longer being subject, but being sovereigns. That's right. So much for your stinking women lib. And I want to look at all you women. Watch your tongues and your ways. But that you can't have earnest dialogue with your husbands. I'm talking now of the type of the church. And I'm talking now of men being responsible. I'm responsible this morning what I say. I know I'm before the white throne. I don't know it as I really should know it. In a sense, I wish I had a greater revelation. I'd be much more careful in every single thing. But I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. And I'm preaching it right from Brother Branham's messages. There's no mistake I'm making this morning whatsoever. She dominates Adam. Now, watch how Adam is dominated by the earth. Look at verse 3 and 21. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Before God gave them clothes, it was a veil of glory. It was a God veil. A word veil upon them. Now God supplies another method. He has to institute something else. And in every single way, you see that man is subject to nature. Then what about these idiots that are running around trying to tell you women you can't have a fur coat if you really wanted one? I admit, there's a lot of truth to the fact that it takes thousands of gallons of water and tons of feed to feed a cow up where you and I can have a steak. But I want to ask you, where did God say we couldn't have it? Tell me. Well, I can't eat fish or a cow. I'm not supposed to eat a horse. Now, I realize that was under the law. You could get by with it. In fact, a good hunk of horse meat might be a better piece of cow meat, because maybe the horse is not injected with antibiotics. And you eat a piece of meat full of antibiotics, you knock your immune system down right now. That's why you're dying. That's why you can't fight disease. Under bondage. Now again, notice Genesis 2 and 7 where God put this man into a body. He still holds the covenant of Genesis 1:26, which was co-sovereignty with God. Goes to 2, 19 and 20. Has dominion over the beasts. The man is a full mature adult acting as a full mature adult. Right? All right, let's go to Genesis 3 and 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve. She was the mother of all living. Genesis 4, Adam knew Eve. She conceived and bare Cain and bare Abel. Now there's babies. Not mature adults coming into the world. That's over until the resurrection. They're babies. They're born. No longer do we come in the world as adults, but babes that must live subject to nature. Now we brought in a race of people that are not sovereign, though the seeds of sovereignty lies within them. They're under control. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For we have not yet you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I said, you've got the Holy Ghost. That lets you know that one day you're going to be placed as God's Son in the resurrection. The Spirit Himself bears witness our spirit with the children of God. In other words, you can never get the baptism unless you're a child of God. And the children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer Him, we may be glorified. Now it tells you right there that as God spoke to Adam, nature will be against you. Every single one of us must bear the brunt of Adam and Eve listening to creation. Now listen to me. I hope you're getting what I'm driving at. This message I'm delivering you from Brother Branham's message. His word was, thus saith the Lord, and vindicated. You understand what I'm saying? You have nothing to do what anybody postulates. You have nothing to do what anybody takes from a book or from nature. You stick with this. You live or die, sink or swim. Because our key is back in Genesis, I'm reading it to you. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of sons of God. In other words, man brought nature down. And when he brought nature down from the sovereignty of God into a defilement, that same nature takes vengeance over him. You can't fool with nature. Go ahead. Even use a very faulty diet. See what happens to you. See, they've denuded the soil. There's nothing left in it. And try to build your bodies up. The FDA does everything it can to stop you. They don't want you getting healthy. There's too much money in drugs. Now, don't tell me I'm wrong. I've got the statistics. I get those books all the time in those articles. What do you think I'm talking from the top of my head as I don't know what I'm talking about? Why do you think they're putting people in prison all the time? Rife absolutely made a microscope that had 11,000 parts to it. Zeiss came over here to see if we could find out about it. He found the five viruses that cause cancer, and he could destroy each one. What's the name of that guy? I forget his name right now. It was the FDA. He said to Ripe, look it, we split the proceeds, and I'll let you put it on the market. He wouldn't do it. And Ripe died as an alcoholic. There is your FDA. That's what Herbert's doing today. Why is he pulling all these lawsuits and thinks he can get away with murder? Why won't they take alternative methods to help you with your cancer when they know chemotherapy will destroy you? I don't care if Norman likes it or not, but he knows his own wife was killed by chemotherapy. She was cured by dying and prayers of the people. And this doctor said, well, you didn't finish your regimen of chemotherapy. We'll give it to you. And she died of cancer once more. Amen. It's known it will cause cancer. You haven't got a prayer, brother and sister, getting out of here. Except God does something for you. They blew it. Creation. We brought it down. Now we got to bring it back by our own deliverance. Because creation itself should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glory of the liberty of the children of God. For the whole creation groans and travails and together with us in pain. There's your picture. Born to die. You know, Ilka Chase made a statement. I think maybe somebody else might have made it before. I don't know where they copied her. She said, isn't it awful? She said, you think maybe God made a mistake? Why, she said, little cuddly babies. Everybody likes little cuddly babies. Nothing can be done too much for them. Why didn't God make us all adults? Because when you get old and infirm, nobody seems to love you. Nobody wants to care for you. You got to die many times very discreetly. Wouldn't it be nice if we all started as adults and went back as babies? We'd all be cuddled in there. She had a point. We started as adults. We're going to come back as adults. Nature now has control. If you don't think it does, how come you were born? You weren't born by any special desire except sexual desire. All right. Now this condition of life since Eden, described in Romans 8, is upon us because Eve was educated in Eden, that there was a better way because God's word did not actually tell it as it really was. So today God's word still doesn't tell it as it actually was because you see there's something in nature and creation will tell you about it. See, oh, the sun could not have stood still because you see it's the earth go spinning around. Who told you the sun couldn't stand still? Because some guy like Bolivar said the earth was flat and couldn't be round because the Bible said the four corners of the earth, and the astronauts show you that the landmass does have four corners, but the earth isn't flat. The world's round. Because the Bible said he just sitteth upon the circle of the earth. In the book of Isaiah. Psst, come on. Satan calmly pointed out by the laws of nature that the word of God was in conflict with creation as we understand it by observation, and therefore God was wrong. Reason by education is now king. The word of God cannot be trusted implicitly because there appears to be in it a contradiction, a paradox, and one must never question a conclusion garnered from nature, even though they make it wrong many times. But instead, question God via God's word, as did the serpent. Now, that's the end thing. That's the end thing. Yeah. People write articles saying Christianity is losing out. That's a lot of hogwash. Christianity has lost out. But Christ hasn't. And he's not an entity, he's a person. Beginning with Eden, there is not one doctrine in the Word of God that is not open to question. That's according to the people that understand, they say. And in the light of the various prophetic promises that seem to have failed, there can be nothing real except in humanism. But play it cool. Talk about the force of the man upstairs, just in case. Now listen. It is not sinful to study the laws of nature. It is not sinful to explore those laws and use them. It is only sinful when one combines so-called scientific knowledge with a philosophy that involves God and then makes a religion that is not founded on vindicated prophecy and consequently judges the word and declares what part, if any, is valid and what we use and what makes us really right with God. When Dr. Chinicky wrote that book 50 years in the Church of Rome a long, long time ago, at the time of Abraham Lincoln, he confessed that most priests that he knew were already atheists. It's a racket. Come on, it's a racket. Religion's a racket. It dwells upon the fears of men. It dwells upon questioning minds. Except you become as a child. A little kid will take parental answers. We never can get off the ground. To combine the Rhema Logos God with any study man makes, thereby making a doctrine, that's on Godhead, and thereby setting up worship, apart from vindicated prophecy, is the tool of the devil, and is now bringing on destruction, even Armageddon. Hey, what did Satan really appeal to Eve? Her ignorant pride. He couldn't demonstrate anything. Satan fostered atheism. And that's really nothing. Hardly anybody believes that except a few educated pseudo-intellectual idiots. Ask him for one proof of mutation. Then itself proves anything. Joseph Sorbin, what is he, the editor of Times or News or something? Brilliant editor. He said, I've taught that junk in school, he said. Then I realized, hey, where are these mutations? He said, there aren't any. Then he said, that's not evolution. The beast said to Eve, I will let you in on the mind of God. Oh, yeah. That's what the Gnostics said in the time of after Paul. Poor Arrhenius had a battle. I'll reveal the truth about God and what your relationship to Him actually is. She already had it. Talk about foolishness. I'll reveal to you the knowledge of the Most High. I will tell you what God knows about your present situation. God knows you will be as He is. Your eyes open, seeing what God sees, knowing as God knows. You won't be just co-equal rulers here on earth. You'll go right up there with God, and you will have input. Catch the word? Input. Input. You can and will make decisions. You'll be your own person. Now look at that. One. Look at input. Number one, Adam and Eve had no input. Romans 9. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time when I come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children not even being yet born. And when born, not having done either good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth, He was said to the unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. It's written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What input did they have? Israel with God, verse 15, He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and compassionate on whom I have compassionate. So then it's not Him that wills of Him to run, but God that chose mercy. For the Scripture said to Pharaoh, for this same cause I raised up to show my power in you. And then down below, in verse 21, hath the potter power over the clay, hath not the potter over the clay, of the same lump to make a vessel of honor and dishonor? What input did they have? None. What input do you and I have? None. Aha! Now that's the doctrine the world hates. They hate it because Eve swallowed it. I got input. Now they say, I'm going to tell you, bless God, you can be saved right to anybody you saved. There's a song a fella wrote and he said, I bet you if Judas had a turn to Jesus, Jesus would have forgiven him. I bet you if Pharaoh had a repentant, Jesus would have forgiven him. I bet you that guy is a complete spiritual non-entity. Whatever made you think anybody can come? Eve. The devil said, hey, you got input. You got input. You know something? They had output and blew it. Come on, test your own spiritual pride. Test your own citizenship and your pride. Kennedy thought he had the answer for paraphrasing, I think, what was it, F.D. Roosevelt or old Franklin D. or somebody. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask rather what I can do for my country. And then he slept with a dozen women a night and raised our taxes, everything else. Didn't have enough guts going with the Bay of Pigs and knock out the Cubans. Then they called Bush a wimp. If you're strutting whoremonger and a liar and everything else, you're a great guy. You can say, I'm no Democrat. I'm not a Republican either. Wouldn't you sooner have output than somebody giving you input? But he lost it. Now only input is going to be any value. Adam and Eve had no input. You and I have no input in the things of Almighty God. If God, we were not in the beginning, and there's not an input into us, there is nothing. Number two, Adam and Eve were vessels of God's input. We read that here. Number three, no part of any creation was to have input on Adam and Eve. That's all we know, is nature's input. Number four, Adam and Eve were to have all input in nature granted by God. By faith we can stir up a few things, but we got to wait for the name. Eve's lust for knowledge. Eve's lust for knowledge blew her hunger for God plumb out the window. In other words, the measure of the Holy Ghost in your life and mine is a measure of the Word, like Brother Branham said. Right? Huh? Right? Well, come on. Psalm 107. Verses 8 to 12. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. He put Adam and Eve over the works of His hands. For He satisfieth the longing soul and fills the hungry with soul with goodness. But she was lusting, not for the Word, of which she was a part. Huh? You're a part of the earth. You've got a lust for the earth. You've got to have what comes out of it because you and I are bodies. If we are the soul from God, then we will lust for the Word of God. She turned her real lust to filthy lust. Notice, such as sit in darkness, a shadow of death, being bound in affliction iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and they contemned the counsel of the Most High God. And He brought them to hearts with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. And the word condemn means to scorn, to abhor, and to blaspheme. You want to see the picture today from Eden? She couldn't take the goodness of God. People can't take that. I'd like to see them produce something like that. Hey, that phony hillbilly, Kentucky blowhard. God smeared him across the road. Eve was worse than that. Sitting in darkness. The greatest battle of this hour is the battle of the mind. Education versus revelation. How many minutes we got? I'll never make it. Look, education versus revelation. If you go to Romans 4, you will notice, beginning at verse 13, Abraham was heir to the world, not by anything that he did, but what he believed. And when it was time for the promised son to come in flesh, and remember, he was looking for a city, so who was going to run the city? The son was going to run the city. He believed in a God who raises the dead and calls those things which are not, although they were absolute contrary to every nature. He said, I am the father of that son, and Sarah is the mother. And they said, listen, stupid. Every law of nature proves you're wrong. He said, listen, stupid. I'm not dealing with nature the way Eve did. I'm not listening to Sarah. I listened to her once, and I blew it. I'm listening to God. And whether she likes it or not, she's going to listen to me. I'm going to get young, and she's going to get young. We're going to have that child. You and I are going to get young and go back to millennium. Now then, it goes on here. After having typed our Lord Jesus Christ and our coming glory and victory in Him, it tells you in here what Jesus accomplished and how He overturned every single thing that Adam had destroyed for us. Until we find in verse 21 of chapter 5 that as sin had reigned, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. And going to 1 Corinthians 15:51, said, behold, I show you a mystery. Righteousness is going to reign to the extent where we don't die and look for a resurrection. We stand right here during your resurrection and never drop one wink of our eye, one breath of our lung, one step, one beat of the heart. We might not need that because we know blood. Going right on back. See? The great battle is right here in this hour as never before, because at this time we have God's perfect revelation, God's perfect word. The seal's opened. You can't add one word or take one word. And the light of what I preach, why in the world would we want to? Now, you won't go home today and turn off the lights and say, I won't turn on the lights again. I never say anything that stupid. Well, if the water won't run, I'll just let it not run. I never said that. Well, if my clothes fall off, I just won't bother buying new ones. You're crazy. I never said that. I said you're stuck with nature. But you better not make her your authority. You better show you're a son of God, a part of the living word, by rising above authority of nature through the authority of faith. By faith, they put enemy aliens to flight. By faith, the women got their dead raised to life. By faith, they stopped fires, the mouths of lions, walked right in the presence of God. Now listen, and we go far beyond that faith because we live by the faith of the Son of God Himself. It's Jesus' own faith in His own Father. who said, this day I have begotten thee, I put you over my inheritance. All of these children of mine are yours, because I've given you, and you will stand in the midst and sing praise unto me. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Jesus has a covenant with his Father. He's going to get it, and there's only one way I can know a part of that covenant. Because I put his word above all those things that come from the dogmatics of mankind, the doctrines of those who slip in this philosophy and that philosophy, instead of stand with, thus saith the Lord. Say, Brother Bale, what about the fact, you say the whole word, Brother Branham said Elijah would bring back that word, restore the word. Yes, let me tell you something. Jesus restored the word for his day. He's going to restore it for our day, and he doesn't go back to the whole Bible to do it, because just about the whole Bible has run its course. The word that Brother Branham spoke, he stood on, absolutely vindicated. We stand on it, and the simplicity is this. You just stand on it. Because you know why? Everything else has failed. The only hope you and I got is standing with something. And what better can you stand with than this? Show me. Few there be that'll find it. But there will be those that do. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness to us. And again, we only got so far, but then, Lord, we'd already read the paragraph anyway. We've lusted for knowledge. And you knew we can see exactly where it came from and what it's doing. And the world today is nothing but one great big basket of lust. Even to the extent that we find in Romans. Now the whole world's gone perverted, and even flesh will never find its way out because it's so polluted. It'll never, never recreate itself. Little children born with AIDS, they don't even grow to be a year old. Some cases might, I wonder. How are they going to reproduce themselves? Just like you said, in the days of Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me. I'm going to build an ark and take my people out. I believe, Lord, you built an ark of your word through the prophet. Vindication, Lord God, that people can stand and know things. And they don't have to listen to the world, the flesh or the devil or anything else. But just piling word upon word. Build themselves up in the Holy Ghost. Our Father, we pray you will be more and more sincere. We get very sincere in this church. The trouble is we're not so sincere outside of it. Now, speaking for myself, Lord, too. Although I know the thoughts I get are outside the church and bring them to the church. And yet that's not enough. It's got to constitute a life. So help us, Lord, to be constituted word as never before. And we know, Father, that there is the truth that's brought forth this morning. The more we get rid of with a sense knowledge, the more we're going to have the faith knowledge, which is a true revelation. The more we'll walk in the light, as you're in the light, and the blood will scatter sin. And then one day, we'll walk right over to the tree of life, fully compatible, living forever, changed in every atom of our bodies by the grace and for the glory of God. Father, I believe there's definite seed in this building this morning. I don't doubt in my heart, Lord, there are people here absolutely that will come up into that first resurrection. I got to believe that, Lord. But not only that, I believe there'll be those, the people here, Lord, will be in that great throng, whether in the first or second resurrection. That's up to you to allocate that, Lord. Nobody knows. That's only you. But I believe we're here this morning because we're part of that kingdom that we're all going to, where we control nature with the living God. We sit in harmony in a life that we don't even know anything about. We couldn't, but we will. And we see it set before us. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all honor, power, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.